I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about decolonization. We're going to talk about the situation in South Africa. And we may get to our story on Turkey and Turkey's desire to conquer Jerusalem on behalf of Islam. We'll see if we get that far. But decolonization, just go online, go to Google, and you type in the word decolonize or decolonization, and you'll just see, and then just go to the images bar there on Google. Type the images bar and just go look at all of the graphics for decolonization with phrases like decolonize your mind. Keep calm and decolonize everything. Decolonize this place. Decolonize your mind is very, very popular. Oakland is occupied. Decolonize the 99%. Defend Mother Earth. Okay? Decolonize and feminism. Colonization and decolonization. That's a work out there. Decolonize the university. Decolonize the school system. Decolonize your beauty. Decolonize your world, occupy, liberate, decolonize, over and over and over again. Now you've got one here with the American flag on it, and then the word decolonize written across the American flag. So what are they saying? Well, it's very important that we understand what they mean. And these are all radical leftists, or generally, this is a leftist ideology. The idea of decolonization is definitely the radical left. It is a one-sided argument. It is an argument that basically says that Western European people, Christian people who are generally white people, are guilty of something that all of the other races and nations of humanity and so on are not guilty of. That they're guilty of this horrible sin known as colonization. And they went into the different parts of the earth and they established colonies and they built towns and cities and roads and schools and universities, etc. And of course, these places generally became the most successful and the most powerful countries in the world. So now what's happening is you have this Marxist movement to try and overturn all of these historically Christian countries that are the result of Western European Christian colonization. I use all these terms in a very general way. Because supposedly they're guilty of some grand injustice against humanity and the indigenous peoples that nobody else is guilty of, supposedly. That's what we're being told. Now, the thing that to me is just very ironic about it, and this is where you have the arguments where in the Islamic world, they argue that they are supposedly victims of colonization. This was the whole argument going back to the 1920s and 30s, where the German socialists were going in there stirring up the Muslims, which I've talked about before, and trying to get them to overthrow all the British colonies and the French colonies and so on, and to resist them. It's based on this idea that some injustice was done and the Muslim lands have been taken. This is the argument that the Palestinians are making against Israel. That Israel is guilty of injustice. They have taken over Muslim lands, the Palestinian homeland has been taken, and this kind of thing. Now, of course, anybody who knows real history knows that that's simply not the case. That land was the land of Israel 1,000 years before the Prophet Muhammad was even born. And the only reason why Jerusalem, for example, and that territory became Islamic for a brief period in history was because the Muslims invaded and they took it over by force. And if you gain a territory by conquest, of course, then you've got to be willing to lose it by conquest. If somebody stronger than you are comes in and takes it away, that is just the nature of the world. It's how the nations of the earth have operated for thousands of years. But now, with the psychological warfare of mass media and political correctness and so on, there's this whole idea that it's unfair if you win a war within a certain context, if you win a conflict. So what they're doing is they're employing an information war, a propaganda war. And it's important to recognize this, brethren, because their propaganda war has been very, very effective. Now, especially with mass media, with television, radio, movies, and political pundits and news pundits getting on TV day in and day out, and now with schools, with public education, propaganda is a very powerful weapon. Very powerful. And it has led to the overturning of one country after another throughout the 20th century, now into the 21st century. Decolonization is a very serious issue, and it's what we're facing in America. This is what South Africa is dealing with right now. It's the philosophy of decolonization, that the whites in South Africa have no right to be there. They came in and colonized, etc. Now, let's talk about this issue of colonization, why it is a bogus argument, ultimately. The reason it's a bogus argument, brethren, is because there is no people on the earth that has not engaged in colonization at some point. All people have engaged in this sooner or later throughout their history. For example, you look at Islam. You've got over 50 Muslim countries. There's said to be some 57 Muslim territories and countries and so on the earth. The Prophet Muhammad was an Arab. Arabia, or now Saudi Arabia, is one country. Why are there Muslim countries in 56 other territories? Because of colonization. The Islamic world has been colonizing for 1,400 years. All of these so-called Muslim lands are the result of Islamic colonization. Right now, the Muslims are piling into all of these countries in Western Europe. Effectively, they are trying to colonize them and convert them over to Islam. That's what they're doing. That's why I say the decolonization is a one-sided argument. The same thing you can say about socialism and communism. Where do all the socialist countries and the communist countries come from? They all come from colonization. Marxists that have gone out into the world with their gospel of Karl Marx and social justice and all this other kind of stuff. Those are the missionaries, if you will, and they get involved in politics and in the schools and everything else, and they try and overturn a country and bring it under the will of socialism or communism. And they've done this very effectively over the last 100 to 150 years. But what are they doing? They're engaging in colonization. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. They're not doing anything any differently. It's just that their cause is a cause of evil. And if they get what they want, if the Muslims get what they want, and if the socialists and the communists get what they want, they turn countries into an unlivable nightmare. In contrast, Christians, when Christians colonize, they typically establish the best, the most successful, and the freest countries in the world. They establish the countries that everybody wants to live in. But you study the history of the world, you study any of these tribes, any of these indigenous people, any of the groups that might complain. For example, Mexico. Study the situation with Mexico. We keep hearing that we as Americans are occupying Mexican land here north of the border, that supposedly this was once Mexican land. Well, why are the Mexicans speaking Spanish? Why do they speak Spanish? Because their Spanish ancestors invaded the territory now known as Mexico that was once the Aztec kingdom. And the Spanish invaders came in, the Spanish colonizers came in, and they took control of what was once the Aztec kingdom. They raped, robbed, and murdered their way into possession of what is now Mexico. So they didn't obtain the territory by some politically correct means, not at all. The only reason they have any of that territory, the reason that territory is dominated by Spanish-speaking Catholics is because their Spanish Catholic forefathers invaded and took it over. So you could just as easily argue that they stole the land from the Aztecs. So how does one steal stolen land? Yeah, you can't steal stolen land. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But that's the argument. That's the argument that they make, that supposedly their invasion of the Aztec kingdom was legitimate. Who knows why? But that the English colonists coming into America, and listen, brethren, we're going to talk about the situation in South Africa. I'm going to play some clips for you because I think it's very, very important. South Africa has a history very similar to our own. That's why I think the situation there is so important. But our forefathers didn't come here and steal the land from the Indians. Don't let anybody tell you that, and don't listen to those arguments. Our forefathers generally sat down with the Indians and made deals with them and purchased the land from them. They didn't steal it. That's important to know. They should be teaching this in our schools, but they won't, because it doesn't fit with the leftist, Marxist, communist narrative to try and make Americans seem like, well, we're colonizers and invaders and all this other kind of stuff. That's the argument. But the reality is, even among the Indians, whatever territories they occupied, they fought for. And those territories were quite often occupied by some other tribe or some other group before the Indians came there and fought them. So that's why I say the problem with the entire colonization, decolonization argument is that it suggests that Western Europeans, that white people, are somehow or other guilty of something that all the other nations of humanity are not guilty of. I mean, go study, just read the Old Testament. Read about King Asa, for example, in the days of King Asa. You had the Ethiopians who tried to invade ancient Jerusalem. And there was this massive Ethiopian army that was coming to invade. Well, what are they doing? They're basically colonizing. They want to take over that territory. They want to plunder it. They want the wealth and the territory for themselves. And Asa cried out to the Lord, and he was able to go out and fight against them and prevail and claim victory. But the Ethiopians, what were they doing? Well, they were doing what so many other countries have done. They were trying to invade a neighboring country for plunder and for whatever they saw as an opportunity to expand their kingdom and their wealth. That's what all the nations of the earth have done in one way or another. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
Exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about the whole colonization and decolonization movement that continues, really, to sweep across the Western world. It's a continual movement. You can trace from the period of World War II. I think the history shows that this is a movement initiated by the Nazis. And when you had movements like Operation Paperclip bringing 1,000 and more Nazis into the United States and smuggling them into different parts of the world, their influence with science, technology, and that kind of thing, that was one thing. But I believe it went even farther than that, especially once you realize that the Democratic Party has adopted nearly all of the political policies of the Nazis from the 1930s and 40s. All right, but here's a story. Here's a story. Breitbart carries this and a number of others. This one comes from the Spectrum Report in San Francisco, and it says, quote, Australian nurses must announce their white privilege before treating Indigenous patients. This is in Australia, obviously. Australian nurses must announce their white privilege. And it says, Australian nurses and midwives are being forced to announce their white privilege before treating Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander patients, a move which has been slammed as racist to its core. The term white privilege defines the unearned social and cultural advantages awarded to people with white skin, which are not enjoyed by people of color or non-white backgrounds. Now, we've talked about white privilege before. This movement is gaining international momentum, the whole white privilege movement. I honestly believe this is going to catapult. This is probably going to lead to World War III, brethren, sooner or later, because of what they're doing and how they're doing it. Because their end game is what's happening in South Africa. And that is just the complete disempowerment, theft, and mass slaughter of Western European Christian people. That's what they want. That's their end game. That's why there's continual agitation. Let's go now to, well, here's a story from Front Page Mag. Front Page Mag has an article called Minquisition, Leftist Educrats Intimidate Parents and Indoctrinate Students in White Privilege Orthodoxy. You see, this is something that, and the article goes on to say, you got parents who are kind of baffled. They're saying, well, what is this white privilege nonsense? They have no idea, and their kids are being taught now about white privilege in school. And they don't realize what's going on. They don't realize where this is headed. This is just the latest chapter in socialist subversion and trying to maintain a steady stream of racial agitation and hatred. But it is gaining more and more momentum here in the United States. All right, but where are they headed with this whole thing? Well, I maintain, brethren, that their end game, what they want, is a scenario eventually in America like what is happening in South Africa. That's why South Africa, paying attention to it, is so important. Now, I want you to listen to part of this radio program with Dr. Peter Hammond. I'm going to play an audio clip from Dr. Hammond's podcast called From the Frontline. And this is a recent podcast where he's talking about this now reckless decision to confiscate land from the white farmers without compensation. But he talks about the economic disaster that's happened while the ANC, the African National Congress, has been in power. The ANC was the party, it still is in power, but it was the party of Nelson Mandela. But listen, here's Dr. Hammond.
Back in 1994, unemployment was under 3 million, just 2 million point something. Today, unemployment is closer to 30 million. For every year the African National Congress, the ANC, have been in power, they've added another million unemployed people to the ranks of the unemployed. Now, you would have thought that the power failures, the water restrictions, the rampant crime, the rape, the murder, which has become everyday realities for the long-suffering people of South Africa, would have caused them to have some heart-searching and thinking, you know, our policies aren't working, let's rethink this. But instead, they come up with smoke screens to distract from their failure and their corruption. Lies and distortions and disinformation and fabrications and misleading statistics and campaigns of guilt manipulation, making scapegoats out of the white minority, have been manufactured to create a smokescreen, which is designed to cover the rampant corruption and incompetence of the ANC. You know, if somebody's trying to pick your pocket, they need to distract you. To be able to loot an entire country, you need a lot of smokescreen and distraction. And whites have been demonized and made scapegoats for every problem in the country. Even after over 23 years of ANC rule, nothing is accepted as their fault. Nothing. Nothing's their fault. Instead, irresponsible politicians have engaged in the most reckless rabble-rousing and hate-mongering, which threaten to subject and subvert the very fabric of society.
All right, now when he says threatens to subvert the fabric of society, he's obviously talking about the planned land grab where they're planning to just seize all of the land from the white farmers, destroying, just really abandoning the whole concept of property rights. And he talks about how this is going to be disastrous for South Africa overall, because foreign investors, nobody's going to trust the South African government if they don't respect private property ownership. Who would invest in that country? That's one of the arguments that he makes. But he goes on to talk about how when Nelson Mandela was elected, he made all these promises about alleged equality. Listen, here's what he says.
At his presidential inauguration in 1994, Nelson Mandela declared, "Never, never, never again will any South African be discriminated against on the basis of their race." Well, that's what he said. But immediately this promise was followed by affirmative action, black economic empowerment, racial quotas, even in sports teams, all of which only succeeded in chasing away investors, employers, entrepreneurs, and tourists, increasing unemployment. Today, more than half of the total white population of South Africa that was here in 94 has left the country, has voted with their feet, a vote of no confidence, have left. And so we have got more white South Africans living outside of the country in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, America, Britain, and so on, South America, than are living in South Africa itself. And every one of those people who were skilled people would have employed anything from 8 to 10 unskilled workers. And therefore, what we've done by chasing away these people is we've chased away employers and taxpayers and entrepreneurs.
All right, now this is where, brethren, I think we should be thankful to God. We should continue in prayer for our country and be thankful to God that at least for the time being, we have a president like Donald Trump in the White House, because a lot of the issues that President Trump is addressing about our economic situation has to do with years of policies from the left, by and large, that have essentially been a redistribution of wealth philosophy, where jobs and businesses and corporations and this kind of thing have basically been exported to all these foreign countries. And this is what Trump is addressing right now. It's what the president is confronting. He's confronting these economic reforms and saying we need to have a more fair situation that puts America first and takes American workers into consideration. And that's what he's talking about. But effectively, that's what they did in South Africa. They wrecked the economy of South Africa. That's what the socialists have done down in Venezuela. That is what they are working to do here in the United States. And right now, the Trump administration is trying to repair a lot of the damage that they've caused up to now. Watch the film, if you have not seen the documentary Brexit that was produced and released right before they had the Brexit vote there in Great Britain. You should definitely watch that film, because they explain how the same thing essentially happened to England. And England's economy has just been ravaged because of the socialist programs designed to undermine their ability to be successful. And that's what we've seen here in our country. But the end game is South Africa, just to wreck everything, wreck all of it. Look what's going on in Venezuela. The whole country now, they don't have food on the shelves. The people are, there's craziness and chaos in the street. It's just the senseless ruin of societies that were otherwise doing well. I mean, it reminds me of what Jesus said about the devil. The thief comes not but to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's why the thief comes. But Jesus says, I have come so that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Brethren, I believe we need to restore in as much as is possible, in as much as the Lord may allow us, we hope, to restore the Christian heritage of our country and Western civilization. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to have to do it for us today. That's our show. We will stop it there, but we'll be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.